Now here in Exodus 18, you get a few insights into Moses' domestic life. Verse 2, Jethro, Moses' father-in-law, received Zipporah, Moses' wife, after he had sent her away. Well, to send away a woman was to divorce her. And the Septuagint here uses the same phrase as in 1 Corinthians 7, really about divorce and marriage breakup. Well, we're told in Matthew 19, verse 8, that Moses allowed divorce for the hardness of Israel's hearts. But he himself appears to have divorced Zipporah. He sent her away. You remember that Miriam and Aaron are a bit cranky with Moses later on when he takes to himself an Ethiopian woman. So he divorced and remarried. And I don't think the Ethiopian woman was Zipporah. I think it's a case of divorce and remarriage. And he did not marry a covenant Hebrew. He married an Ethiopian. And no wonder his brother and sister sort of more than raised their eyebrows. So Moses was a man who divorced and remarried, and married, we might say, to one out of the immediate faith of Israel at the time, and yet he was the leader of God's people. Well, no wonder he had really a heart of compassion, and yet he's the one who was worked through by God. The extent of God's manifestation through Moses to Israel was huge, and yet he had a non-standard personal situation. There's no doubt about that. And I think this for all time ought to clear up any idea that so-and-so can't be an elder. He's divorced and remarried, you know. And and a second wife, she's, not quite a believer as we are. God worked through Moses. This is his characteristic, to work through non-standard people in the sort of way that he does. And so I think this is why Moses is so compassionate, because he actually had been through a lot of the situations that he legislates about. Now, for example, earlier when Moses is first called to lead Israel, he's pretty skeptical of what God says. He actually complains to God, "You have not saved your people as you promised." And when you get later on, the people come to Moses and say, "We want to go back to Egypt. You have not brought us into the land as you promised." They are just repeating what Moses earlier in his weakness had said to God. So again, I think you see that he was able to empathize with weakness because he himself had these elements of weakness. Now, this is not to say that he was not an absolutely wonderful man. I think the greatest statement about him is in Numbers 12, where we're told that the man Moses was very meek, the meekest, the humblest man in all the earth. And that can mean, I believe the Hebrew can mean, he was made meekest, he was made the humblest man. And I guess it was through stuff like marriage failure and people looking askance at his second wife and all this kind of thing that made him be like that. Well, in Exodus 18, verse 3, we read about the names of his two boys. Gershom, for Moses said, "I've lived as a foreigner in a foreign land." Well, he lived for 40 years in Midian, and yet all the time he recognized this is not really my home. His mind was in the past and in his responsibilities to his God. And the name of the other, verse 4, was Eleazar, for he said, "My father's God was my help and delivered me from Pharaoh's sword." Well, Moses had had very little contact with his father Amram, and yet he praises his father's God. So he was only with his father in babyhood and maybe very early childhood, but somehow Amram had inculcated in him a faith in Yahweh at that early age that still continued with him when he's out there living in Midian in this rather dumb life. So there'll be a great surprise, I think, for Amram and Jochebed in the kingdom. They probably thought, we thought Moses was a special boy, but, he got adopted by Pharaoh's daughter, got trained in all the wisdom of the Egyptians, and by that time, Amram and Jochebed may well have been dead. And if they did survive beyond that, they would have thought, yeah, and then he cleared off into Midian, got involved with someone outside the family of Jacob, got involved with some Midianite woman, and yeah, living out there, shepherd apparently. What a surprise awaits them in the kingdom at the resurrection, when their Moses actually did turn out. And I baptize a lot of folks in their old age and middle age who often pass the comment that I wish my mother was alive to see this. And what a great surprise there will be at the day of resurrection. So don't give up hope on your kids, even if you die before they do. Well, you don't know how they will end up. So then, you notice in verse 12 that Aaron and Moses and the elders of Israel eat bread with Jethro before God. Now, the idea of eating before God definitely is of a religious nature, and yet Jethro did not fully believe in the God of Israel. He was a priest in his own religion. And you just see that they did not have any idea of a closed table. They were happy to fellowship with him in what would have been the equivalent of our breaking of bread, because he wanted to participate. Well, he then gives Moses this advice about judging the people, etc. And it might all seem that it was all very wise, but I'm not sure it really worked out. Because he says in verse 22 that these people who I suggest you appoint will share the load with you. But in Numbers 11, Moses laments, I'm not able to bear all this people alone. It is too heavy for me. So it seems to me that in reality, Jethro's advice didn't work out. When he says appoint elders, you know, wise men, even one over every 10 people, etc. Well, to use Paul's words, there was not a wise man amongst them. And so I don't think it really worked out. It was all secular wisdom. And I think that's why Moses had not done it earlier, because he saw there's not a wise man amongst them. So you could say that his acceptance of Jethro's advice was not maybe the best. Perhaps he did it because he wanted to see some reconciliation with his wife, who was Jethro's daughter, I don't know. Moses listened to the voice of his father-in-law and did all that he had said, verse 24, and as I say, I'm not sure it really worked out. And then, Exodus 18:27, Moses let his father-in-law depart and he went his way to his own land. But you've got to put the scriptures together. And in Numbers 10, you see that actually what happened was that Moses begged Jethro to stay with them and to be their guide, be eyes for us in the desert. And yet in Numbers 10, they are told that the angel of God, the eyes of God, which run to and fro throughout the earth, would go ahead of Israel and find them a resting place every day. God would be their guide. And so I see in that request a failure on Moses' side to really believe in God's angelic guidance. So he was very much trying to get right with his father-in-law, I think because maybe he wanted to somehow get right with his ex-wife Zipporah. You don't know. But all I'm saying is that putting the pieces together, and it is not a clear picture, I admit, you've got to put different bits of scripture together. His own domestic life was extremely conflicted. He was not, in that sense, the clear, obvious, well-qualified leader. And yet he was the one whom God used. It's like Peter, the one who publicly denied Jesus, just, well, over a month later after he'd done that, only a stone's throw from the place where he had shamefully denied his Lord, he is the one who is used to convert probably more people than anyone else has ever done in one day. He gives a speech and 3,000 people put their hand up and say, you've convicted me, I want to be baptized. And he baptizes them. Absolutely amazing. Nothing similar was seen ever in the New Testament church. And so Peter did that, and yet he was the most unqualified in a sense. And again, you see how it is actually human inadequacy which makes us adequate in God's eyes. It's like Mary Magdalene being the first chosen witness of the risen Lord when a woman's testimony was not legal testimony in Hebrew and Roman law. And she had a history of mental illness, 7 demons cast out of her. She had been a prostitute. And so when she comes and tells the other disciples, "I've seen the risen Lord," they consider what she says to be idle tales, the tales of a crazy person. And they obviously thought, "Yeah, Mary, you're having one of your bad turns again, huh?" And yet she was the one who was used, and you are the one. With all your inadequacy and all your lack of secular human qualification, who God really wants to use, just as he did Moses.